theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
What's up, party people?
What's up, Quinn?
How's it going?
I'm very good, man. You are a ball of energy today.
Well, I'm just trying to be that espresso that everyone needs.
Yes.
Whether you're listening to it in the morning, in the afternoon, or evening, you probably need a little jolt of energy.
Yep.
So here we are.
5 hour energy, Red Bull. We are all that in one.
Life
Out of the Box podcast. Yeah, save your money and listen to us.
Exactly. That's our next marketing move.
I like that. It's a good one.
But today, I'm really excited to talk with you about basically a family.
Yeah.
It's
a really cool story.
It's a story we've been following for a long time now, actually. And it's really, really, I'm excited to share a part of the story that I didn't quite know until just recently, actually.
Yeah. So I'll explain first how I remember finding out about this family. They are called the Bucket List Family. And the way that I remember it the most was when we were doing Life Out of the Box, we were selling bracelets and going to different pop-up shop events and hosting pop-up shops. There was a customer and she was really, really sweet. I think she was in Tulsa or maybe Oklahoma City. And she came up to us like, "Oh my gosh, you're here. You're real." And we're like, "Whoa, what's up? How are you?" And she's been following us throughout our whole journey through Nicaragua, Guatemala. And she was like buying Christmas gifts. She was buying a bunch of bracelets and she was an amazing, amazing person. And
amazing supporter.
She mentioned that we reminded her a lot of the Bucket List Family. And I was like, "Who's the Bucket List?" She was like, "You don't know the Bucket List Family? You guys are like, you guys would be best friends."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Really? Like, who are these people?" And so we went home and we kind of Googled them a little bit. And they have an amazing story where pretty much they're traveling all over the world as a family. And the way that it all came to be is really beautiful. And we were just recently, in the last few days, introduced to the story of how they ended up going about this unique, one-of-a-kind lifestyle, which, in all honesty, there are a lot of similarities to who we are when I see them. And it kind of, I don't know, I was telling you recently that it kind of made me feel like if we were in a different universe, I could see our lives being exchanged because
they're so
similar. Like it really is strange. So,
well, it's funny because I was actually going to say that. So, you know, two bodies, one mind.
Nice.
But when you said that, I was like, you know what? There are so many weird similarities that I didn't really fully process, maybe because we were busy with, you know, PhD or whatever we were doing at the time. But you know, we followed them, we watched their videos, and they're so cute. Oh my God, the family is beautiful. Like, so, like, to the point, and I totally agree, like, it would be like us in an alternate universe or a reality or whatever, because it even goes down to, like, it's a white girl with a Filipino guy.
Yeah,
like,
we do actually look quite a lot alike, both you and I to them.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, there are very much a lot of differences between all of us, but I think that the at the core of what this woman was talking about, like why this family and pretty much the parents really reminded her of us, is that we were out in the world traveling, having a very different type of a lifestyle and a very different mentality to how we approach life.
Mm-hmm.
And at our core, I think for both us and the Bucket List Family is impact, right?
Mm-hmm,
and for them, it's definitely, they have kids, right? I mean, it's basically like we're different at the fact that we don't have kids and they do.
Yeah.
And, but I think that what's really interesting is like when you really listen to them, and recently I just watched, thanks to Jonathan, you know, his talk he gave at BYU, which was the university that he went to. And he's basically talking about his story of how he developed an app at BYU with two of his, classmates, friends from BYU, and sold it to Snapchat, and basically his journey along the way. And we'll go through all of that. But I think at the core of like what I really took away from it too, was that, you know, every time you're drawn towards the path of like, hey, you know what, you got a really good salary, you got a really good opportunity, you got this going for you, and everyone's like, yeah, keep going, you're doing everything right, you look like you're very successful. Anytime that drew him that way, he felt he had to go the opposite.
It's very cool.
It's so cool. And it's like, I've never really heard anyone like put it so eloquently in that way.
Right.
And it's something that, like, you know, when you feel something, it's one thing and it's hard to articulate, and you hear someone articulate it for you, you're like, oh my God, that's it, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
It connected with us like so crazy. I still trip out about, like, you gave me goosebumps reminding me that's exactly what he was saying in that presentation. So I want to give a very brief introduction, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners may not have found the Bucket List Family. If you have, then you get this already in this old news. But here you go. So the Bucket List Family, their last name is G-E-E, so they're also known as the G family. And Garrett is the father. He's 31 years old, and like Quinn mentioned, he's primarily Filipino, and he went to BYU, and he played soccer there. And he developed an app called Scan. And Scan basically took your iPhone, this was a while ago, took the iPhone and allowed you to scan barcodes or RFID tags to allow you to, you know, do whatever, like
gain information, go to a website, see what the price or was.
Or like someone's Twitter page. Like, there's a million things you can do with those tags. Yeah. And he was one of the first to try to make an all-in app that allowed you to do all of that with barcodes and RFID tags as well. And so he found two developers that he's forever grateful for in believing in him and investing their time into making this real. And all of a sudden, he's working really hard on it. He's trying to get people to like download the app. He comes back and he tells the two guys, dude, you won't believe it. I got a couple dozen people to download the app. And they're like, dude, you won't believe it. Since last night, we got 2,000 people to download the app. And so it was already like kind of picking up, getting a lot of attention, because it was something that people found could be very, very useful. So he keeps on growing the business, and at a certain point, he starts needing money. And so he goes on to what is still one of my top favorite shows, Shark Tank, and he pitches it to, you know, the big celebrities, Mark Cuban and all of them. And surprisingly, not a single person invests into it. But if you want, you can actually go and find his little pitch, and it's kind of cool to see him as like a young college kid pitching Scan app. And he did it alone. He didn't have the two programmers on there pitching his idea, and they didn't bite on it, which is perfectly fine. He keeps on going. He did find investors, and he continues to develop the app. And what ends up happening, fast forward, is it gets acquired by Snapchat for approximately $50 million.
Yeah.
And as a part of that, he's invited to work or expected to work in Snapchat's headquarters in Venice Beach in California. And he gets a $180,000 salary, which is honestly a really great salary.
Yeah, it's basically like an acqui-hire, right? So the company got acquired, and then the people who were involved, which was a small team on the app, got hired by Snapchat to work for Snapchat. Yeah.
So he gets the salary, but the main chunk of the money is coming in through, you know, probably through like primarily stocks.
The deal, exactly.
Was a public IPO, company at the time. So he's got a lot of money. He brings his whole family down, and so he ends up marrying a wonderful lady that's got a little bit of a similar look to you. She's a very pretty girl, and her name is Jessica, and they end up having two kids pretty quickly, and they move the whole entire family down to LA, and he's going to work and she's kind of staying at home a lot with the kids. And this is where it's going to like your part of the story, where he was feeling as though he had it all. He had the job. He was making $180,000, a lot of money, and he had all this other money from the transaction, and he just is hating it. He doesn't like going in there. He doesn't like going to work. He's waking up later every single day. He's kind of losing focus on things that are important to him, such as his health and his relationships, and work's kind of taking over. And so he keeps on talking to his wife about what's going on, and they eventually come up with the idea of, you know what? Why are we doing this? Why don't we just go live the life we want to live? Like, why can't we? Why can't we? I know we got kids, and I know it will be challenging, but why don't we become travel journalists? Yeah. I mean, it's like such a radical shift.
It was adventure travel journalists. Yeah. I love the way he describes this part too in the talk, is because he basically has a screen up, right? Where he goes, here are my priorities. These were my apps. I knew for me, these were my top priorities. My health, my relationship, like health, mental health, spirituality, all that stuff.
Yep.
Relationships, family, friends, whatnot. Work is number three. So one, two, three.
Yeah.
And what was taking up the most time? The inverse of that.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're working a 9-to-5 job, you're spending most of the time at work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't spend that same amount of time on your own health, and you can't spend that same amount of time on your own relationships. Mm-hmm. And that was something that he really couldn't, it was hard for him to grapple with as he was finding himself super unfocused. And I remember, like, I really liked that he actually, I think he called his brother his brother-in-law.
His brother, who's his brother, a high school teacher.
High school teacher.
Yeah.
And he was like, he called him back. He was like, basically like, hey, here's my problem. This is how much I make, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
and he told him all the numbers.
And his brother calls him back 2 hours later. He goes, look, dude, my wife and I just spent the last 2 hours trying to consider what that type of money, that salary would, how that would change our life, our lives here. Like, because, you know, high school teachers, unfortunately, don't make that much money.
Yeah.
And so he was like, okay, so you think I should just keep going with you? He goes, no, that was just basically me and my reality and what I love to do and how great it would be if I got to do what I want to do as a high school teacher and make that amount of money. That would be awesome. But you don't love it. You don't like it at all. So yeah, go for doing something else.
And that surprised him.
It surprised him. And I think, like, let your loved ones surprise you, you know, sometimes. I think that's a really good lesson. But I think that the big thing is like, what are your priorities? And what are your priorities written down, like, in your mind of like what you consider the number one, two, and three in life? Yeah. And then what is the actual amount of time that you spend on each one?
Right.
It's very interesting and insightful, I think.
So at that point, he decided we're quitting. We're giving up everything and we're going to go for this. They sold every single item in their house or their apartment they were renting at the time. And it was about $40,000. And what I like, because a lot of people probably listening to this are like, well, of course you can go be a travel journalist if you sell your company for $50 million. No.
Nope.
They put it in a different way. They said all that money, gone. It's like, pretend it's invisible. We had a whole episode on that. Check that out.
Pretend
your money's invisible. And they said, let's just live on this tight budget and let's do it the way that is true to us. You know, like, why do we need to change? Money shouldn't change you. Let's go back to our roots. And so they did this amazing, I mean, this was years ago now, but this amazing around the world YouTube show that was produced by them that was showing a completely different angle to life, as well as really focusing on making a positive impact around the world as they're helping their children grow up and see the world. And it's a really beautiful.
It's so beautiful. It's
great for kids. It's great for adults. And it's really, really amazing. And they kind of said, we're going all in on it and we're going to do it the way that feels most authentic and allows us to really throw out our creativity, allow us to flourish in that. And they have been, I think it was like at the time of the interview, it was like 50 something plus countries that they've stayed in for a significant amount of time. And you watch what they do, you experience it, you're seeing these different cultures, you really start to understand so much more. And he is really living, I mean, we say this a lot, but he's living such an amazing life. He's living his best life, filled with fulfillment. Mm. And he feels as though, because he took the courage to run away from what maybe a lot of people thought, you know, why would you ever run away from a 180 grand job working for Snapchat? He went with this gut instinct to go towards something that was, you know, the road less taken. It ends up becoming the bigger, the better endeavor that he couldn't even imagine beyond Scan. You know what I mean?
I know. It's an amazing story. But I think, you know, it's not just a gut instinct.
That was the one thing I didn't like. I'm glad you brought that up.
I think it's an understanding and awareness of your internal values, of your intrinsic rewards, of like, what do I really get? And I'm not getting
you should have coached him before he went on there. That's a way better way of explaining
it's the core value that he knows who he is and what he's doing on a daily basis is not matching up with that, you know? And that's not like it. And so, yeah, I guess it's a gut instinct for some.
It could be qualified as that, but yeah. I think the way you explained it is more specific.
Yeah. And I really do love this story because for many different reasons, as you could probably tell, but definitely watch a couple of videos. I mean, they've done some amazing things. They've done, you know, they raised $50,000 to build a school in Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've sent other people on trips around the world, to different places like in Dubai and Disney World and stuff like that. But the real crux of it that I thought was really interesting when he was describing his, because you and I love the beginning journey, right? Like that's usually like a really, really fun part of like, how did you get through that? Right.
Yeah.
And he was like, this was a crazy idea. He was super like obviously everyone was like, what are you doing? Right. Yeah. You are giving up so much to do what? Start mm-hmm. a YouTube channel and you're going to take your kids around the world to all these weird, crazy places. Mm-hmm. And he, one interesting thing that I thought he said about creativity was once he started the YouTube channel, he mm-hmm. stopped watching YouTube entirely.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought that was a very interesting point that he brought up.
So interesting. And it was like, oh, wow. Like, because he's like, basically, I wanted to, because when you watch a person's video, you're like, oh, that's how you vlog. Mm-hmm. And it completely, all of a sudden, your own ability to create something unique to you and to tell your story gets thrown out the wayside because you think you have to do it in a certain type of way. You have to have a certain type of music, or you have to have a certain...
You're replicating or emulating others.
You're not original.
Yeah, and he went all in on making it the style that he wanted it to be. And I'm sure it's a collaboration thing with him and his wife too. But if you watch his videos, and I've watched quite a few now, some of them are so creative, the way it's presented. And I was like literally watching it last night, and I was like, holy cow, that was so well done. And it's just unlike anything else. But that's another part of this story is, when you are able to be your authentic creative self, that's where your best work can come out of.
Exactly.
The quality of work that makes you one in a million. We always say that, like, you know, we're like, why should people listen to us? Or what makes it so that people should come to our podcast? There's a million other people out there. What makes you one in a million? Not one in a thousand. What makes you one in a million? And if you can go even further, one in 10 million, one in 50 million, the more unique you are and having an understanding of what that is that makes you you, the more likely you're going to stand out amongst the rest. And by him purposely saying, I want zero influence on how we do this. I want it to be our style. And then him leaning into that all the way, it allowed him to become super unique. I mean, that the format in which he presents these videos is unlike anything else I've seen on YouTube. And I can confidently state that.
That's really interesting. I think, you know, when you're just starting off, it is, you know, you kind of have a little bit of imposter syndrome, right? Which is like, you don't really know if you're able to do this. Like, your efficacy is low. Like, can I actually do this? So you go and you look for some inspiration from someone who seems like they know what they're doing. Yeah. But, you know, that's okay to an extent. When you're ready to go all in and you want to be original, and I think what you said is so right. And he says this in the speech too. It's like, it's got to align with who you are, your true authentic self. That's where true creativity can come from. And I really connected with one part he talked about, like, early on in his, you know, career before his application took off. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, I had spent my whole life with a perspective and an orientation of like, I got to do, like, I know I'm smart and I can do this, this, and this for other people, but I've never really tried it myself to do something, to create something for myself. And I really connected with that because when I got out of college, that was my orientation. Full disclosure, it was like, oh, how can I do this for other people? I know I'm really creative and I can create something for this company and this company and this company. And it was like, but what about me? Like, what can I create for myself? And that it was a whole different mind shift when you and I went all in with Life Out of the Box. It was
it was like a blank canvas.
It was, but it was so right. It was like, it was something that I was always so curious about that I had never had the courage to just like speak up and say. It was like, oh, I'll just stay on the safe path of like, I know that I could do really good work for this company and I'll be rewarded in this, or that, or whatever. And it was like, it was a huge risk to take for me at that moment in my life, where I was so, my orientation was like, you're just going to keep going on the path of creating for other people and you'll get rewarded along the way. And it's like, well, what happens if you take the chance and actually create something yourself? You never really know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a really fascinating story. It's beautiful. Like his creativity, if you watch from the beginning of it, I think it's a lot of videos. I don't know if you want to binge that far.
But just find a few videos.
You can see how creative they are. And I think that we all see, when we see or we hear something that is really good, it's kind of like ubiquitous. Like, everyone's like, wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I think that where does that come from? It's really hard to know, but I do think it has a little bit to do. This is just my own little philosophy. I do think it has to do with, blocking out the noise and just kind of focusing on what you can create for yourself and what you're trying to do.
Yeah. But intrinsic,
but it's also, being true to yourself, like really knowing what your purpose is. Like, the more you get through and you understand who you truly are and what you value and what your purpose is and what you're trying to do and create, that's like, I mean, how could you not create something fantastic that someone will connect with?
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to connect with it, but there will be people who all like collaboratively say, wow, that was unlike anything else I've seen on YouTube or anywhere else.
And there's a lot of ways that one can start to figure out those answers to those really difficult questions that you just threw out there.
Yeah.
One way, I'd say the primary way that we do it is through our conversations.
Yeah.
Hence why we're doing a podcast. Exactly. And you all get to come along on the journey as we're discussing it and getting one step closer to where we're aiming to be. But another way that we've mentioned many times is a lot of people don't have another person that they feel comfortable talking to. And sometimes, in all honesty, these are intimate questions.
They are.
But go for a journal. Write in a journal. Write it down. Start digging deep. But you have to take the time to write down these questions and go there. And it's worth it. It really is, because, like you said, if you do take the time and you do figure it out, or you get one little inkling of a little bit more of who you are, or what makes you tick, what makes you feel alive, what makes you feel as though you're never working but you're doing something and you're in that state of flow, the closer you are to really understanding that, the better the quality of the work that you put out is going to be. And then it really kind of just helps clear away the path. I mean, there's a huge world out there. I always view it as an image of like an individual standing in front of a forest, and it's a really thick forest. And it's like, where do I even begin? There might even be fog in the forest where it's really dark and dim. And the more you start focusing on your own thing, who you are, your purpose, all that stuff, the more it starts to become clear which direction you need to start taking steps towards.
Yeah.
And no matter what, when you're taking steps in there, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's dark still. But at the same time, you have to start making sure that you're making consistent progress. Action, progress, left foot, right foot, one step in front of the other. You're going to fall down. Don't forget to pick up a rock. But you will figure it out. But it does take time and effort to get to that point.
Yeah, you're so right. I think it is really important to... I mean, if you don't have someone, you do. I think that that's the thing too. Is like the story of his brother surprising him and be like, no, you obviously aren't happy. You got to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, the key is for you to know who you are.
Yeah.
At the core of who you are, and you know, it's like your fingerprint or your genetic code. Like, there's no one else like you. So lean into that and don't try to be anything else but you. But it takes a long time to figure out who you are, what you want to do, what you want to contribute, what is your purpose, who, like, and, but if you stay true to that and let that guide you,
core values,
that's some amazing stuff. And to be honest, the reason why it's so amazing is that there are so few people who do this.
Yeah.
There are so few people. It's true. I mean, we highlight these random people. Like, we're like, oh, Maggie Rogers. Oh, the Bucket List family. And we'll bring you, we'll bring you guys into our world of people who we really do, like, in a weird, in a digital way. Like, the people who we kind of like look at.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying, we're not trying to be the Bucket List family at all, but we love that input in our life. You know, like, because we see it as so unique. It is so, so special. Yeah. And it's something that not everyone, I mean, people with way more subscribers and way more attention, you know, aren't even there yet. Well, but I think that there's something special about them.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be honest. Like, one reason why I really like them, I don't want to even want to use the term admire them, but I have a lot of respect for them, is because I do feel like they took the horse by the reins and they said, screw it. This is what we want. And ignoring all the noise. I mean, can you imagine how many people told him, you quitting your job with Snapchat and doing this is one of the dumbest things.
Yeah.
And they're like, have you ever been a journalist? Have you ever done any video editing? Like, what do you know? Have you ever traveled with kids? I mean, these were like little kids.
Yeah.
Do you know how difficult that's going to be? There's not going to be any sense of a stable life. Where are they going to go to school? There's a billion questions you can come up with to tell them no. And they were very courageous. And they said, screw that. We're doing this. And bam, it's working. And I think it's those individuals who, amongst the noise, among all the pain and agony that they can envision going that route, that still do it, even if everything failed completely.
Yeah.
They still went after it and they know they did the right thing. That's where I tip my hat.
Yeah, me too.
And that's why I feel like, yes, we go through highs and lows with what we're doing right now. And a lot of people are confused as heck with what we're doing right now. No, to a lot of people probably doesn't make much sense, which is perfectly fine.
Totally okay with
me. But the truth is, We just know that we're aggressively going after it. And we believe that the longer we play this game, the more we experiment, the harder we work on this craft of what we feel is ourselves, you know, who we are authentically, the more likely we're gonna crack that bat on that ball and we will hit a home run. I really believe it. And even if we don't, let's pretend
it's
we don't.
It's okay. It's the pursuit.
But I would regret.
Yes.
I would regret going the normal route. I mean, I really think about it sometimes. It would, to me, I might not have gotten like the best, you know, 10-year research R1 school job. I think I could have got one, but at the same time, I know I could have got a really comfortable, consistent job. I know that for a fact. You too, guaranteed. You could have even got one 10 times better than me. You know, but the truth is, we knew that. But I will have zero regrets on us pursuing these big freaking dreams. I mean, the dreams that we are going after are bigger than I ever thought I could imagine.
Yeah.
A lifestyle in which we have full ownership of what we're working on. I remember like at the beginning of Life Out of the Box, I was like, you know, honey, really, what is success to me? Success to me is having ownership of my time and working on what exactly we believe in that we feel is like what we are to our core.
Yeah.
And guess what we're freaking doing?
I know.
But it's not there yet. I still not feel yet. Like I'm striking out every day.
Well,
but
you're not striking out every day. I think the truth is that not everyone sees what goes on behind the scenes. And we are
rightfully
people.
So.
We are individuals who like to keep things close to our chest until we're ready to tell people, right?
Kind of. We do a daily podcast that well, some people listen.
The thing is that you get to choose what you know, what you're ready to talk about, what you're not. And
right.
I do really think that at the core of all this for both of us is staying true to who we are. And like anyone who really does that. And I think going back to the thing that he said in the beginning that he talked about in here is like anytime he felt pulled to go towards the normal path that everyone else was like, you're amazing. You're progressing. You are something. You're going to be a success. Like you keep on going on this path, keep working for Snapchat. Who else? Like what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Anytime he was on that path, he knew that was not the right one for him. There was something pulling him off, and it took some courage to actually pull himself off of that.
Took a lot of courage.
But it felt, the reason why he was courageous with it is because it felt right. It was the right move for him.
Yeah.
And regardless of whatever happened afterwards, at least he knew he was making the right decision for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's not easy to do. It's a lot. It requires a lot of internal reflection and stuff like that. We talk about all the time on here, but
actually,
it's nice to just like hear someone else talk about some of the stuff, because it's very rare for us to actually hear this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know that like it's okay. You know what? And that's why we like to talk about it so much, because I'm sure that there are other people who think this way too.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that a lot of the people that are attracted to our podcast have the same mindset as us. And therefore that these kind of conversations are very beneficial, not just to us, but I also want to go back to what you were saying about his pursuit of like going against the grain. It did take action. And I do want to emphasize that. And we emphasize it a little bit here, there, but like, really, you can't just talk about it. You can't just think about it. Everyone can think about it. We're not called thinking out of the box here. We're called life out of the box. Go take action.
Yeah.
You got to take action. I'm not saying, you know, just do it. I'm not Nike here saying just do it, but I am saying you got to take some time to plan it out, and then when the timing's right, you have to pull the trigger at some point.
Yeah,
you know,
the timing is never going to be right. Actually, it's never going to be perfect.
Right. Yeah.
You got to just do it. And I love that you said that, because it is so true. It takes action. And actually, in a weird way, I don't know, I just thought of this. In a weird way, if people are questioning you as you're taking action on the thing that you finally are taking action on. You might be on the right path for yourself.
Ooh,
you know,
that's
like
what are you doing? Yeah,
you got it. You keep going.
Maybe that's a sign of you're doing something right, my friend.
You're making stuff happen.
Yeah,
and you're making people nervous, and I think that's a good thing.
Go for those big dreams, my friend.
Let's do it.
We can do it. We're going for it. And
you guys can too.
Yep. We 100% believe in you all. We're very grateful for you all listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying this episode, or if you want to just support us, feel free to give us a review or push subscribe. And we cannot wait to talk to you tomorrow. We appreciate you.
Yes,
we love
do.
You.
We
and
love
we
you.
Hope you all have a wonderful day.
See you then.
Bye. We'll be right back.
journey through sound.